But I find that human beings, we tend to take certain things for granted. And especially when we get very excited, you know, we tend to lose our senses at times. And when it is in God's business, we have to be very careful of that. Now, even in man-to-man relationship, you find that parent-children, employer-employee, you find that this kind of exuberance, excitement, enthusiasm, may people make what? Wrong decisions. They have good intentions, but the result is not very good at all. I used to have a person used to work for me. Don't forget him at all. And whenever I give him certain instructions, he would get carried away. Each time he gets carried away, he would come back to me and say, "Mr. Gilbert, I thought you said." I said, "Don't thought." Do what I tell you to. Do, don't thought. Because he's thinking enough. He's going over what I tell you to do. And I said, "Christopher, I want you to do this, and I want you to do that." When I come to the workplace now, expecting it to be done, Christopher does something completely different. Then he turned to me and said, "I thought." He always says that, you know. And so it minds my relationship. And of course, I was not pleased with that kind of outcome. I was not pleased with the result of Christopher. Needless to say, he did not remain with the company very long, because he keep on saying, "I thought." Now, even so, in spiritual matters now, it is very important that we know the will of God. Our intentions, good as they may be, and sometimes we have very good intentions, it must line up, it must sync with what God is saying. It must agree with God's will. We mustn't get so carried away with our good intentions that we neglect the will of God. I have not given the sermon a title as yet. You'll soon hear what the title is. But I want you to follow the story of a man. And that man is Simon Peter. We follow this man very carefully. And I want you to follow this man, Fabian, get your Bible out for me, in Matthew chapter 16. And I want you to follow the story of this man, Peter. And many of us are like Peter. Matthew 16, verse 13 through to verse 19. I may not read all the verses, but let me hear what it says. Matthew chapter 16, what verse 13 says?
When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi,
yes,
he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?"
Stop. Christ was very curious as to what people were saying about him. Like, you want to find out from his apostles themselves, what were people saying about me, the Christ? Continue.
"And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist."
Was Christ John the Baptist? No. But some were saying that. And a sizable some too. Some were saying John the Baptist. You see, oh, some can be wrong. Some were saying John the Baptist. And people, you know, Jamaican people were very full of opinion, you know. "Yes, man, let's fight, go." And you know, they talk loud and say, "Yes, man." And they talking loud mean that they are right. So some of them were saying John the Baptist. And they probably were saying with some passion. Because Christ was doing all kinds of miracles, wasn't he? And he was doing some awesome, wonderful things. And these people were probably, "Yes, man, he must be John the Baptist." But he was not John the Baptist. Continue.
"Some Elias."
Some were saying Elias, the great prophet of God. He must be Elias come back. Was he Elias? No. Continue.
"And others, Jeremiah."
Some were saying Jeremiah.
"Or one of the prophets."
Stop a second. Now, a sizable sum of people were saying different things, you know. And in this case, Brother Michel, none of them was correct. None of them was correct. Christ was none of these things. Christ was none of these things. So Christ turned up because, you know, these people, these apostles and disciples were very what? Close to him. Am I correct? They moved very close to him. People who are close to you, you expect them to know a little bit more about you than strangers, than acquaintances. So Christ expects now to get some answers from his disciples. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? What did his disciples say?
And Simon Peter.
And who?
And Simon Peter.
So Simon Peter now, you know, he's going to talk and say who Christ is. Continue.
Answered and said,
yes,
thou art the Christ.
You are the Christ,
the Son of the living God.
Stop. Did Peter get it right? Yes. Peter though realized that Christ was not an ordinary man. Christ was not just one of the prophets, like what some religion would want us to believe. Christ is not just a prophet. Christ is the very Son of the living God. Peter acknowledged that Christ is divine. Christ is not human, just human. Christ is divine. Because he's the Son of God. And he was correct. Now, what in verse 17, Christ answered and said unto him, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in what? Which is in heaven. So something has been revealed. Listen carefully now. Something has been revealed to Peter. The truth that has been revealed to Peter, revealed means shown to Peter, made clear to Peter, is that Christ is not just a prophet. Christ is not Elias. Christ is not John the Baptist, but Christ is the Son of the living God. That is revealed by God. That is the will of God that has been revealed to Peter. And based upon that, Christ said to Peter, you are Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Listen now. So Peter now has declared that Christ is Son of the living God. Listen carefully. And Peter's own ears heard that Christ says that upon this rock I will what? Build my church. Did Peter hear that? Peter heard that very clearly from Christ's own mouth. That Peter, upon this rock, I will build my church. Church. Not churches, you know. And Christ now said, Peter, I'm going to share in the building of my church. Did Christ say that? No. Christ did not say, Peter, other people are going to help me to build this church. Did Christ say that? No. Christ said, Peter, I will build my church. Now it shows possession, but it also shows that others are not in this building. Amen. You understand what I mean, brother? It shows that I, the Christ, build the church. But it puts aside now other people in the building of it. And as a founder. Christ don't have any co-founders, you know? Christ don't have any co-founders. Because right here he says, I will build my church. The church belongs to him. But he also says, I. That means he has no what? Co-founders. Do you see that? And this church that I'm going to build, Peter, the gates of hell shall not prevail against what? It, the one church. He goes on to say 19, Peter, I'm going to give you this key, the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever is bound on earth would have already been bound in heaven. You know the correct rendition of it. So Peter had immense knowledge. Peter was aware. It was Peter got the revealed will that Christ is the living God. Christ himself said to Peter, Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Now I would expect, oh, we as human beings are something else. I would expect Peter, having heard it, having himself declared that Christ is the living God, and having heard that Christ said, upon this rock I will build my church, I would expect Peter now, having this will revealed to him, would be solid in his truth of Christ being the Son of the living God. I would expect that Peter does not veer neither to the left nor to the right. I would expect that of Peter. Am I right or am I wrong? We will see. Turn now your Bibles, if you please, to Matthew. Just a little bit over now. Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, same Peter, James and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. So Christ, he took these three from the rest of the disciples. He wants to share something with them. Am I correct, church? He wants to share something with them. Verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. We have to talk a little bit about this. What took place now on this high mountain was something called transfiguration. And transfiguration is defined as a change of form or appearance. That's what transfiguration is. Never before in Peter's experience, in no man's experience, have you ever seen a human being take on the properties of a celestial body. What do I call the celestial body, church? The sun. Shine as bright as the sun. Well, you know, when sun shines, you have to take your eyes away from the glare. Christ now, something happened that never happened before with any man. And Peter now was experiencing this with the other two disciples for the first time. Can you imagine if he was there, oh, Peter mouth must have dropped open like a laugh. But it's true. This has never been happened before, you know. No human being has ever taken on that kind of aura, that kind of appearance, where their face shine like a celestial body, shine like the sun. I'm sure if you see Brother Michel come here one day, or myself come here, I see face just start to shine like the sun. Probably some of us will run out the building, because we'll be so shocked. And some of us will be so stunned, we'll sit on in our bench. Peter was so amazed of what was happening. Look at it again. He was what? Transfigured before them. And his face, they shine as the what? Sun. And even his clothes took on a different kind of appearance. It was as white as light. No, can you imagine that kind of appearance though? But even in here, you must still hold true to the will that is what? Revealed to you. Don't get carried away, Peter. Don't get carried away. Just still remember what happened just a little bit a while ago in Matthew chapter 16. Now, watch this though. In verse 3. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and who? And Elias talking with Christ. Bible doesn't tell us what they're talking about, but they were talking. Am I correct? But I want to ask you a question. Who was transfigured? Was it Moses that was transfigured? Was it Elias that was transfigured? So who was the center of attraction then? Christ is the center of attraction. Plus what Peter learned before. Should be telling Peter something. That the era of Christ is now. And the era of those people are the past. Because what happened in the transfiguration in our church? You saw three things happening at that transfiguration. Moses represented the law. And Christ was to fulfill the law. So you know the law was coming out of the way. Moses represented the law. Elias represented the prophets. And remember, Christ came to what? Fulfill the law and the prophets. And Peter, knowing this, that he said earlier that you, the Christ, you are the Son of the living what? God. And Christ said to him what? Upon this rock I will build what? My church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So, Peter, if Christ said that to you, it's not your business now to come out now and tell something different from what Christ said to you. No matter the excitement of it. No matter the excitement that you are so excited about it. That you can open your mouth now, Peter, and say something different from the will of God. Listening now, Brother Mitchell. Listening, Peter. Oh, poor Peter. Then answered Peter. What time you get it right, this time you get it wrong. You not getting it right all the time, the Fabian. The first time you got it right. And Christ said, yes, man, A+. Christ, God has revealed this unto you, but this time he got it completely wrong, church. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. Was it good for them to be there? Yes. Because you are witnessing now Christ's glory. Peter remembered this, you know. Because remember in 2 Peter 1, verse 16 to 18, Peter talked about this event, you know. It must have really meant something to him. And he said it was at that time that Christ's glory was revealed to him in that way, in that remarkable way. When you go home, read 2 Peter 1, 16 to 18. He commented on it, you know. He commented on it. So he was really, really awestruck. But he answered and said to Christ, Lord, watch him now. It is God for us to be what? To be here. Then listen to him now. If thou wilt, let us make here what? 3 tabernacles. Now why watch this structure, this sentence here. You know what Peter is doing right here now? Pulling in Christ into the whole situation. Have you ever seen that? Brother? Pulling in Christ into this, into his whole misguided notion, you know. In the sight of Christ, and Christ, I'm going to make 3 tabernacles. He said to Christ, Christ, let us make. Christ is the last person to say that to. Because Christ is not going to bring out division.
That's right.
Said to Christ, Christ, let us make 3 tabernacles. That's a wonderful intention. But he got it wrong. Because God has not intended 3 authorities to be in place at the same time. The transfiguration was showing Christ's coronation, so to speak. The transfiguration that Christ now is in. And the Elias and the prophets are out. That's what that was saying, you know. But Peter now take it now to mean all 3. You see, sometimes you see things I don't understand it, keep quiet. But if you see certain things, but I don't understand it, keep quiet. The best he could have done, and he never had to. He should have understood it, you know. Because Christ tell him already that upon this rock I will build what? My church. Did Christ tell him you were going to build 3 churches? No. So he already had a will, Karen, that Christ said, I'm going to build 1 church. He already had that will revealed to him from Matthew 16 verse 18. Christ already told him that. So why not? If he's going to say no, and bring Christ into it. That's the worst part, you know. Let us make what? 3 tabernacles. He's going to tell for who now? Read that part for me, Fabian.
Let us make 3 tabernacles. 1 for thee.
1 will be for you, Christ. And the tabernacle now, let me explain what the tabernacle is now. That is needed. The tabernacle is a place of what? Worship and religious. Am I right, Brother Mitchell? And religious instruction.
Amen.
Yes. So it stands for like a church. Tabernacle is like a church.
Amen.
And it's going to get religious. You're going to worship God there and have religious instruction. So we're going to have 3 of them. One for you,
one
for Moses, and one for who?
Elias.
Good intention. But he should have been aware of what Christ had, and remember what Christ had told him before. Now, the third thing will take place now at this transfiguration. The first thing is that we saw the Lord here in the form of who? Moses. The second thing we saw there was that the prophets were there in the form of Elijah. And the third thing we see at this transfiguration is God himself proclaiming who Christ is and how man should respond to Christ. Let me say it again. At the transfiguration, we saw the law, but it's on its way out. We saw the prophets, but they are on their way out. And now we are going to witness God the Father himself proclaiming who Christ is and what should man's obligation to Christ. Let us see what that means. Now, while he had spoke, that's while Peter is talking, you know, God can just interrupt him. Behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my what? Beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased." Stop. Stop a second. Now, Peter acknowledged that Christ is the Son of the living God in Matthew chapter 16. The transfiguration, the physical transfiguration, show the magnificent glory of the Christ. Amen. And now the voice from heaven, Amen. With God himself, proclaims that Christ is divine. Amen. That's what you say now. Can you say, "This is my what? Son." Yeah. The unique one. Amen. The unique Son. "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am what? Well pleased." When God said, "Well pleased," that means this person will carry out everything that I want to be carried out. Amen. I am well pleased in him. Amen. Have anybody ever said, "You're well pleased"? What with you? Whatever you have done, the person, when the person says, "You are well pleased," it's like you have just satisfied everything. Am I right, church? Yes. But God, if I give you an instruction, Fabian, and you do part of it, would I be well pleased in you? No. But if you do all the instruction I gave you, would I be well pleased? Yes. Because you are the one that carry out everything. So Christ has carried out everything for his Father, and is capable of carrying out everything for his Father, so his Father is well pleased with him. In that context, Michael, do you think that Christ would need a co-founder? No. Because God is already what? Well pleased with who? With him. So he doesn't need to have any co-founder to carry out God's work. So God is saying in this passage, God is declaring Christ's divinity. And God is declaring that everything that he wants to be done, Christ can do it. And God is declaring that we all must hear him, Christ. Hear he him and Muhammad. Hear he him and the founder of your denomination. Hear he him and Ellen G. White. Hear he him and Joseph Smith. You sure? So why you have these denominations around then? Hear he him. He is sufficient. And we don't need any other. He is the divine one. The only one authorized to save people spiritually. The only one authorized to have people come to God. Amen. He doesn't need any man-made help in that regard. For somebody to be competing with his authority, he doesn't need that. That's why the voice came from heaven to Peter. And Peter realized, same time, the error of his way. Same time. That's why when he talks about in 2 Peter, at that time, in 2 Peter 1, verse 6 to 18, he doesn't mention anything about having any more three tabernacles. That is gone. Try to quickly for me, Fabian. I didn't intend to go to it, but try to quickly see. 2 Peter 1, 16 to 18. What does it say? Quickly.
For we have not followed cunningly devised fables.
What Peter is saying here, whatever we do in Christianity is not any science fiction. It's not any fairy tale, not any fables. Continue.
When we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus
Christ. Yes. It's not a fable. Continue.
But were eyewitnesses of his majesty, for he received from God the Father honor, and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory.
You see that though? That is referring to the what? The transfiguration. And we saw his magnificence.
That's right.
And here now, Peter is not mentioning anymore about having any what? Three tabernacles. No more. That is out of Peter's now curriculum altogether. That's not a part of Peter's discourse anymore. But unfortunately, what did I just say, church? But unfortunately, there were still some people in the church of Christ that did not get that message. Unfortunately. There were still people who believe that you can follow another man. Let us turn quickly to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. It's a passage you know very well. Verse 10 through to verse 13.
Now I beseech you, brethren,
yes,
by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ,
that's right,
that you all speak the same thing.
That you all do what?
Speak
the same thing. Yes.
And that there be no divisions among you.
Stop. We must all do what? Speak the same thing. And that there be no what?
Divisions
among you. But how is that possible with human beings the way we are? If we follow the will of God that is not changeable, that is immutable, then we will be able to speak the same thing. Continue for me.
But that ye be perfectly joined together in
yes.
the same mind and in the same judgment.
Yes.
For it hath been declared unto me of
yes.
you, my brethren,
yes.
by them which are of the house of Cleo,
yes.
that there are contentions among you.
That means divisions. Continue.
Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. Is Christ divided?
Stop. Some of them are saying, I am of what?
Paul.
I am of. So I make the of big. Paul. The one say, I am of what? I am of Cephas. Continue for me, Fabian, please.
Apollos.
Yes. I am of Apollos.
And I of Christ.
I am of Christ. So why do I make that of so big? I want to get it back to speak, that's why. But apart from that, the of here means no, you are belonging to that person. You belong to that person. You love that person so much, you want to belong to that person. And whatever that person teaches, you want to take on his kind of teaching, his kind of way of doing things. Say, bring in division in the church. No. I am of Paul. This is the vision, you know. Because Christ says we must do what? Speak the same thing. That's the will of God, you know. That's the will of God. Hear ye him. That's the will of God, the command. But we are now, the Christians now in the church, were saying that they belong to who? Paul, Cephas, Apollos, and Christ. They get so caught up. Remember I tell you about getting caught up in things? Probably the person came and preached. Apollos was very fluent. And they love what Apollos preached. And they just get caught up. They become partisan like, oh, we get partisan with PNP and JLP. And they get caught up in how Apollos speak. Or they might get caught up in how Paul's writing was so profound. And they get caught up in that. And they get caught up. And then they lose their spirituality. They lose their spirituality. and became carnal. Became carnal because Christ is not divided into these Paul, Cephas, Apollos. Christ is not divided like that. Am I correct? So they still did not get the message. And human beings have that tendency to want to split up themselves into different sects and divisions and groups. We have that tendency, you know, Brother Michelle. And if we don't follow, as you said this morning in service, if we didn't have the church, plenty of people would backslide. And if we didn't have the teaching, from plenty of us would sort of want to go off into kind of denominationalism kind of thing. No, so we have to be careful. And listen now. I want to ask you a question. When this one says, I am of Paul, was he worshipping Satan? When this one says, I am of Cephas, was he worshipping Satan? When he says, I am of Apollos, was he worshipping Satan? They would still claim to be worshipping the same God. Amen. Am I correct? Amen. And they would sing, and they would pray, and they would take communion, but they would want to say that they belong to Paul. And they would want to say they belong to Cephas. And they would want to say they belong to Apollos. What is different here from what is going on now? What is different here from what is going on now? Because you couldn't tell them they're not worshiping God. Say, so I'm a Paul worshiping God, you know. They really weren't worshiping Paul. They were only saying they follow Paul. But they're worshiping God. Just like a person would say, I am, and you know, sometimes I like to talk plain, because sometimes I get a place where people still don't see it. I am a Baptist. They were a Paul worshiping God, but God did not want that. God condemned this. So, oh, why would God not condemn this here and don't condemn it over here? Watch. I am of Paul, they are only what? Worshipping God. But God does not want that. Because when Peter said, I will make three tabernacles, God rejected it. Amen. So why would God reject it there and accept it here? Right. God rejected it then at the transfiguration. God rejected it here. And God is rejecting it here. Amen. Let's see again. I am of Cephas. You guys say then, I am of Catholic. I am of Apollos. I am of Pentecostal. Because what makes you a Pentecostal does not make you a Catholic. What makes you a Catholic does not make you a Baptist. These are different teachings of men. These are different teachings of men. So what creates a Baptist cannot create a Catholic. This is what we call division. And the other nice name for it is denomination. And they say, nice, you know. But denomination doesn't mean division. That's what denomination means, you know. Division. So, God rejected it at three tabernacles. Am I correct? That is the title of the lesson for those who are attacking it. Why three tabernacles? That's the title of the lesson for those who are attacking this sermon. Why three tabernacles? We don't need three. Christ is sufficient. That's we'll finish. Why three tabernacles? We don't need three. Christ is sufficient because God said he is sufficient. We don't need one, two, three of these again. A plus Christ. We don't need the three. Belonging to. Why? Because Christ is sufficient. And he's the divine one. And we have an obligation to hear him. Not God has to hear him and somebody else, you know. And over here now, the same principle apply. Christ is sufficient. We are not to hear the Baptist manual or whatever they call it. And the Catholic manual. All of them have different manuals that you read and so, you know. But we are not to hear those. That's right. Because the voice that came from heaven and correct Peter.
Amen.
We still have that voice today.
Amen.
The voice that came from heaven and correct Peter is a voice that is in the written word. Am I correct, sir? The voice.
Amen.
Don't listen to your no more voice again. So if you're in the denominational church, you're not going to hear the voice. But the voice is still there.
Amen.
Because God has left his voice.
Amen.
In the New Testament scriptures.
Amen.
That's where his voice is left.
Amen.
In the New Testament scriptures.
Right.
Why three tabernacles? Why 300 different denominations? Or whatever the number. I think you got it to thousands now. Why these thousands of different denominations? If God is all powerful, create the heaven and the earth, all knowledgeable, all knowing, God at the same time, as I always say it in your school class when I took it for your America, that God is on the planet Mars. The CMA is here. The same time here in this building, he's in Egypt at the same time. The same time he's in here with us as human beings, he's a little ant outside walk, crawling on the ground out there that we don't pay attention to. God is everywhere present. God is all knowledgeable. God of awesome power. And if he sent his son, then why we need somebody else? With all that awesome power put into Christ, and that awesome power, this word, the word of God, that awesome power is also here, because Christ and God have put it here to guide us. We have all things that pertain to what? And godliness. Do we have some things? We have all things that pertain to life and godliness. So we don't need any co-founders. Why three tabernacles? That's the title of the sermon. Why denominations? Why denominations? They're not offering us anything that Christ cannot offer. These founders are not divine. These founders cannot save. These founders cannot save us, you know. They are men just like us. They cannot save. They only have some ideas about, just like all these people starting to have ideas. But ideas can't save you.
That's right.
Philosophy can't save you.
That's right.
Only Christ can save. We need church. And anybody who is here who is not a Christian, think about these things.
Right.
Why we need all these churches? Why? They can't save us. Because they are started by man like ourselves.
That's right.
These men don't have any divine power.
That's right.
These men never get a proclamation from God on any mount. They were not transfigured.
Amen.
They don't rise from the dead, never to return. Christians, we have a lot of work to do.
Amen.
The lesson is yours.
279, 279, please stand.